Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text we consider this morning is from the first epistle of John, the fourth chapter. He writes, "So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment, because just as he is, so also are we in this world." Here ends the text. So we have come to know and believe the love God has for us. At some point in the past, we came to know and believe this love, and the apostle indicates we still know of it and are able to believe it. The question is, how and when does God give to us this love he has for us? Abraham, in the gospel, refers the rich man in hell and his lost brothers to the answer. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. God sends preachers of his word so that men might abide in his love and abide in him. What does Moses and the prophets preach? What do they preach? They preach the love that God has for you and me. The Apostle John, in the verses right before our epistle reading, he says, "We," that is the prophets of old and his fellow apostles, "we," he says, "have seen and we have testified that God loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation," a big word meaning atonement, sacrifice, "for our sins." The Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world, he continues. "Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have therefore come to know and to believe the love that God has for us." It's been preached. The prophets and their successors preached and testified for millennia to the rich man. We preach Christ crucified for sinners, is how the Apostle Paul puts it. That story has not changed. That's the unchanging love of God. That is love. God's love is expressed by preaching it to mankind. For God desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's why the Apostle John can say with boldness, "God himself is love." Love is not something insignificant. You cannot praise love more highly than for love to be God himself by its definition. His every act, word, and thought is love. By speaking this way, the apostle says and includes more than anyone could ever finish saying. God being love itself includes that God loves the loveless, that he loves those who do not return that love back, and he loves them by patiently, for years, calling and beckoning and cajoling with a clear word. Your Savior is coming. I so love you and the whole world that I am going to see my only begotten Son lifted up on the tree, that whosoever looks to him should not perish but have everlasting life, a free propitiation, atonement of all sin. Simply believe in your heart that he is Lord and confess him with the mouth, in word and in deed, and I will abide in you, and you will abide in me. That's the promise of his love. But the rich man ignores the call of God and his preachers. You know, God loves man so much, he even gives man the free will to reject his love for them. The rich man instead feasts sumptuously every day, dressed in king's clothing. He might have been King Saul, King Herod, King Caesar himself, all at some point rejected the call of the one true God to lead a holy life here in time. Instead, they lead a life of selfish decadence, love for oneself taking precedence above all others, including that mask of God, that hosting of an angel unawares in the poor man named Lazarus, whose name means the one whom God helps. This rich man was the Grinch who stole not just Christmas, but every day of the year from Lazarus and those around him, which is to say, he took, and he took some more from God's bountiful provision, while he never ever gave a thought or a crumb, nor even a single drop of water for the neighbor in need that God had brought near unto him. He ignores Lazarus to the point where he allows him to die at his own gate among the dogs. So Lazarus is allowed to die. John the Baptist had his head lopped off and put on a platter by Herod. Saul threw his spear at David in a murderous fit, and then attempts to hunt David down for years in a jealous effort to keep his throne. The Caesar and his man Pilate, they will crucify love incarnate in the man Jesus of Nazareth on their grisly wooden cross. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. So do not feel sorry for the rich man condemned to hell and its fire. He was given the love of God. He was beckoned, and so were his brothers. Abraham has no compassion, and neither should he. It is too late. God is love. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. And on the flip side, since God is love, the devil works at nothing but the opposite, causing nothing except discord, murder, sorrow, and all affliction in the world. Whoever abides in hatred and envy and selfish desires and the lusts of this world are ones who abide in the devil, and the devil abides in them. The devil is God's enemy and has not the least spark of love in him. His children, like the rich man and his brothers, are the great numbers of this world who have no divine love, have rejected God, and they only rob, steal, kill, destroy, and despise their neighbor. So here Moses and the prophets, before it is too late, hear the call of love himself. Repent and believe his saving gospel. Turn away from this world and its hatreds and its loneliness and its ugliness and its darkness and cruelty and its morbid selfishness. And pray God's grace that we would love our neighbor enough to help them in their need and love them enough to call them to hear the gospel and be saved in Christ, the one who indeed died and rose from the dead for them, before it is too late. Abide, friends, in him who truly loves you, who simply is love. He does not stop loving you without ceasing, nor doing good for you, both in body and in soul. God pours out not just the sun and the moon and the heavens and the earth for you, but all his benefits are daily before your eyes if you only look at them. The whole heaven full of light, the earth full of foliage, grass, grain, all kinds of plants, everything ready for your sustenance. Likewise, he gives you father, mother, house, and home, peace, protection, security through our governing authorities. On top of all that, he gave to you his own heart and his dearest son, giving him to shed his blood and die the most shameful death of all for you. Even though you were born dead to him, shameful, wicked, and unthankful, you are truly Lazarus, the one whom God helps. He makes you his own through the gospel to rescue you from all misery and need. The call of the Holy Spirit made through that preaching of these prophets and apostles. What more should God do for you? Or what more and better could you ever desire? God is nothing except a fathomless depth of eternal love. Dr. Luther says of God's love, whoever does not see or pay attention to it must be either completely blind or hard and dead as stone. The Apostle John says, by this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because just as he is, so also are we in this world. By this is love perfected, that sacrifice for our sins, the loving self-donation of his own Son to be the Savior of the world, our abiding in him as confessing, baptized children of God, where we lead holy, repentant lives built on the foundation of Christ and his word. By all of that is love perfected, brought to its goal, finished. The word the apostle uses here is the one Jesus uses on his cross. It is finished and remains finished with you. That finished love is with you, he says. Even as you are still in this world and all the difficulties this sinful world entails, his love is in company with you, in companionship with you. You are baptized and abide with God. He abides with you, and in word preached, sins absolved, Christ's body and blood given and shed for you to eat and to drink. The apostle writes this as though that love walks arm in arm with you. He stands with you, and the Bible pictures you already standing with him in the heavenly places where Jesus offers your petitions that you freely speak and boldly and with confidence by the Holy Spirit bring to your heavenly Father. God hears your prayers and accounts you righteous for Jesus' sake. Jesus, God's love, walks arm in arm with you. The coming day of judgment, therefore, brings you no fear, nothing to fear for you, because you abide in him and his love for you. And so God looks upon you as being as he is. So also does he account you to be love as he is. You are abiding in him, love, even while you yet struggle in this world. Even while you yet long for the heaven's joy that is to come and the final freedom from all that holds you back in this temporal life, God sees you as he is and as his Son is, holy, righteous, love itself. Dearly loved by God, Lazarus's one and all, destined for Abraham's bosom. Boldly speak now the prayer of our hymns today. There are many good ones we're singing today, also very comforting. But let us now pray these stanzas here again with me now. O sweetest love, your grace on us bestow. set our hearts with sacred fire aglow, that with hearts united, we love each other, every stranger, sister, and brother. Lord, have mercy. Shine in our hearts, O Spirit, precious light. Teach us Jesus Christ to know aright, that we may abide in the Lord who bought us, till to our true home he has brought us. Lord, have mercy. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.